You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
It's a great day in studio today.
It is.
It's always a great day.
And a good day on the phone, too.
A good day on the phone, too. Across the river. Yeah. We have another installment in our series on the awesome book coming out from Emmanuel Press, He Restores My Soul. Hopefully you've been able to catch some of our previous author interviews from some of the chapters talking about the crosses that we bear as Christians, specifically Christian women, but the book relates to all people, whether or not you're dealing with the crosses specifically mentioned in the book.
I've not been excluded.
You have not been excluded.
Yeah. If you have missed the previous interviews, you can check them out in the archives at kfuo.org.
Yeah, we have some really great, fantastic women that we've been able to talk to. And today, we get to talk to a frequent guest now. She's a frequent guest now. Heather Smith, talking about her chapter on loneliness. Joining us by phone. Welcome, Heather. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, glad to be here.
So your chapter is titled, O Bride of Christ, Rejoice, based on Psalm 23, verse 5, You anoint my head with oil. Tell us a little bit about this chapter and why it's important for you to share this information.
Well, the chapter that I was asked to write is specifically focused at those who are single but desire the gift of marriage. And in some ways, I feel it's a little bit of an irony because I am now blessed to be married. But it's an important topic to me because I spent at least a good 15 years or so of my adult life single and sort of hoping to be married, sometimes very much so. And so it's something that reflects a lot of the things I went through during those years of, you know, dealing with this as a cross and desiring what I know Scripture says is a good gift, but also realizing that God is working in my life, you know, in every circumstance. And so how do we go on, you know, living with that desire to be married, and still being faithful as single people in the kingdom of God.
Tell me more about that struggle. What would you describe as the painful part of that struggle between being single and being married?
Yeah, I think it's something that, you know, it pops up in different ways at different times. From the time I was probably quite young, you know, I just sort of always imagined that, you know, you grow up and you go to school and you get married and you have a family. And, you know, if you are a godly person desiring a spouse, that will come along and you'll live happily ever after. But it doesn't, you know, in a sin-broken world, things don't always flow according to God's perfect plan. Or I should say, God's plan is always in place and always working. But we see the consequences of sin, and sometimes that desire for the good gift of marriage and family is something that I think a lot of people are waiting for. And so, you know, I certainly had a lot of years of what I now and even then saw as great blessing of being able to serve as a teacher, to serve in many other roles and vocations, helping people, and yet always sort of desiring the gift of marriage. And, you know, then you start to wonder, well, is it something wrong with me? Or do I need to be doing something? Or, you know, why do other people get married but not me? So those questions can become quite oppressive, and sometimes it becomes easy to sort of wallow in your own sadness or self-concern rather than being patient, being humble, waiting for God's plan to unfold in his good time, whether or not that includes all the things that I have in mind, as well.
I think it's so easy, especially as a young adult, an old teenager, when you're in college, and it's just when it's something that you've thought about growing up, it's just kind of like, oh well, of course it's going to happen. Like there's no concept of it not happening. I know that was me growing up. It's like, oh, of course I'm going to get married. Of course I'm going to have a husband and kids. And yeah, it doesn't always. God's plan is wiser, more wise than we could ever even imagine. But that's hard. It's hard to find that contentment on some days. But how do we find our contentment or our identity when we want so badly to be married, but it's not something that the Lord has blessed us with?
Well, it's, you know, the answer to this issue is like the answer I think you'll find to all the issues that this book touches on. That it's always to find our hope, our contentment in Christ Himself. And I loved, as I was able to write this chapter, how it just reminded me that, you know, Christ speaks of Himself in His Word as our bridegroom, and that, you know, for those of us that are desiring marriage, whether we are given that gift in this life or not, we are the bride of Christ, and that is a great blessing. And so I think, you know, acknowledging the sorrow can be good, but then also always looking to Christ and His Word. And I think the scriptures are just full of beautiful passages. I certainly, you know, you can look at Job or the Psalms or other places like this where you can find great comfort from other people who have suffered. This is a common human condition. Great hymns that I think also speak to this. And in those things, we find a comfort and hope. And, you know, it's not the kind of thing that, okay, well, here's my secret answer. And so if I pray the right way, then God will give me a husband. Or if I you know, change how I'm living, then everything will fall into place. But rather a greater comfort and hope that whatever comes our way in this life, it's only temporary. And we have the great, beautiful wedding banquet of heaven to look forward to in eternity. And that is where our real hope lies. In all of life, because no matter what our station, married or single, there will be things, suffering that comes our way. And we have to look beyond this life and always keep eyes on Christ.
During the time that you were single, did you find the blessings of being single? Did you find that time of being single to be a gift? In what ways was it a gift to you or to others that you were single?
Yeah, I think especially about my years of teaching in a classical Lutheran school, a total of 12 years of teaching, and I was keenly aware for many of those years that I was able to serve in a way, because I was single, that I could not have done if I had family that I wanted to be home to take care of. You know, I could put in a lot more focus and work for my students and the school, and really even just for myself with learning things that I was able to dedicate a lot more time because I did not have that gift of family that was also drawing my attention. I also had the opportunity at one point to go to graduate school and, meet another whole group of people from the school and church and other things there that, that helped me make some wonderful connections and found other ways to serve. Time that I was able to serve as an organ and other things like that. And I did become, I think, especially as the years went by, more and more aware how much I was able to dedicate to those things and enjoy them because I was not divided in my attention so much. And also just to realize that in a sense then, for that time of my life, you know, my students that I was teaching and so forth, they were family to me as well. And you know, part of God's good gift to me and in being a member of his Christian family in the larger sense.
There are blessings no matter what our vocation and what our station in life. What do we do about the well-meaning people, we all know them, who ask the questions that
you
may,
just haven't met the right
that
guy
yet. May or may not be politically correct when they ask, you know, when are you going to get married? Or, yeah, you'll meet the right guy. Don't worry. How do we respond to that?
Well, I think that it is a great opportunity for Christian humility, because it can be easy to get irritated, especially depending on how it's asked or who asks it or how I'm feeling that day. And, you know, if it just reminds me of how single I am and how much I ask myself this question. But I think that in the best days when I would face those kind of questions, what I would find is that you, as the Catechism reminds us, you put the best construction on things. You see that the people around you, they desire for you this good gift as well. And, you know, you respond as graciously as you can. If they're willing to, you know, try and, you know, be the Lutheran matchmaking service, you know, it may be really awkward and maybe it doesn't work, but maybe you just say, okay, well, then sure, I'll just let these people, you know, be a part of my life and try to, you know, to also be helping me in this struggle, you know, supporting me in a way that they know how to, even if maybe it's not actually the most comforting and best way. And so it kind of all circles back around and becomes another way to love my neighbor, where I appreciate what is meant well by other people, and try to accept it for all that is best and overlook anything that's just really kind of irritating or unhelpful and those sorts of things.
Absolutely. And we are all out of time. Heather, thanks so much for joining us today on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you.
You can find He Restores My Soul at emmanuelpress.us. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates. Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.